Our Old Testament reading is from Proverbs 16, verse 32. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. This is the word of God.
Our New Testament reading today is once again 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 5. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not easily irritated. This is the word of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of going for a long hike and had some boots on that didn't fit quite right. And at some point out there, probably miles away from the car, you realized that there was an irritant, a hot spot that had probably turned into a blister already. And something that before had seemed somewhat easy and didn't require a lot of thought, simply taking one step after another, all of a sudden becomes extremely painful, right? And usually, unfortunately, this happens to us when we're doing something that we have to keep doing quite a few more times before we make it back home. This is irritation. It has a biological definition, by the way. It is a state of inflammation or painful reaction to an allergy or cell damage. Chemicals, heat, abrasion, chronic irritation, these things cause irritation in our cells. They make our skin or that area extra sensitive. It's going to respond more than it normally would. It's also a technical term in psychology, abnormal or excessive response to stimuli. Like your child saying, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy." What? Love is hard to irritate. This one hits a little close to home for me because I confess that I have not always been hard to irritate. Maybe some of you can identify as well. Irritation is that state of inflammation or abnormal reaction to stimuli that would normally be okay, but because we are in this state of being inflamed or in pain, we react much more than we normally would. We all know what it feels like to be irritated, right? One of my favorite stories, my family's favorite stories actually, is one of my least favorite stories, but I'll tell you anyway. We lived in Hawaii when I was growing up most of the time, and we went camping to this place on the north shore of Oahu, and my mom thought it would be a great weekend getaway, and so she got some cabin, and I, as she still does, continually assert that my mom is unwilling to pay as much as should be paid for lodging ever. And so this place, this cabin that she rented was a dump. It was bad. Holes in the floor, and it was camping. It was a cabin. No big deal. We can deal with this. It was on the beach, so we had fun swimming, came back, ate supper, went to bed. And it was within seconds of turning the lights out that I heard, ee, bam, Oh, my ear. Oh, my goodness. Hundreds of mosquitoes all night long. I don't know if I have ever been so irritated in my entire life as that night. I remember trying, and it was hot. I remember trying to pull the covers over my head to like stay away from it. It was so hot that I couldn't stand under there. And you'd come out for a minute and you'd get like 5 mosquito bites just for sticking your head out of the covers. We counted the next day, and literally my sister and I had over 200 mosquito bites each. It was worth being irritated. It was incredibly irritating, but apparently, and this is why my family loves telling this story, the mosquitoes were not near as irritating as my response to them. Because I got up and started shouting and grumbling and mumbling and stomping around the house, and whether or not they could have slept through the mosquitoes, they absolutely could not sleep through Dan. And the next day, we decided to find someplace else to stay that coming night. Irritation is a part of our lives as human beings because we all are exposed at one time or another to irritations, to things that can bug us and make us frustrated and angry. But this text is pointing us towards how we respond. It says that love is not easily provoked or irritated. Now, we can all identify with that because we know how it can hurt us sometimes when other people are easily irritated with us. And it's easy for us to get the idea that we kind of already probably came in here this morning with the idea that you shouldn't be easily irritated with other people. This isn't news. But a huge part of how we get there, I believe, involves taking a little bit of a deeper dive into ourselves, our emotions, what we are experiencing and why. Because like most forms of irritation, the problem isn't the irritation itself, right? If you're getting a blister when you're out hiking, the problem isn't the blister. The problem is the situation causing the blister, right? Are you with me? Maybe the problem isn't our irritation, but the way we are structuring and thinking about our lives and what happens that is causing us to react in ways that can be hurtful and harmful to the people around us. Anger is, I am convinced, a God-given gift. God wired us with emotions on purpose. We are not supposed to be, it's Vulcans, right? Like Spock, the non-emotional logicians who only respond to the world based on reason and logic. God created us as human beings to feel things, for this to be an important part of who we are and what we are like. And we love emotions like joy, right? So much fun. But God didn't just make us joyful. He also gave us emotions that we somewhat dangerously describe as negative. Fear, sadness, anger. If we think those things are negative and that they shouldn't have a part in our life, it actually ends up magnifying the damage we create when we experience them. Because we as human beings, this just in, you are going to experience sadness and fear and anger. And God apparently intends us to because he made us this way. Sadness lets us know that we are experiencing the loss of something we care about deeply. Fear can let us know that there is some danger that we should probably pay attention to. And anger lets us know that there is some injustice that we probably need to attend to as well. We only experience emotions about the things that we care about. And to not experience emotion means you're not caring about anything at all, which is probably not a great way to live your life. Anger is very, very deeply related to what we care about and can be such a valuable and important signpost, right? When we feel just like a blister is a very important signal that something needs to change, right? When we get that irritation, it's saying you need to either like stop, put some second skin on this, or take a rest, change the way you're walking, stop your behavior because it hurts. Our anger can be a very important signal that something in our lives is out of order, that there may be something we deeply care about that's being violated or trespassed. Anger is almost, well, and this is one of the things, this is how we start handling it, right? We are going to experience these things. What matters is how we do that and what we do with this information. Anger can be super useful as data to say, wait, why do I feel this way? What is going on? What is it that I'm worried about happening poorly here? Or what? I mean, I love, by the way, the story of Jesus tossing the tables in the sanctuary. You want to see anger as a God-given emotion, right? A house of God. Jesus says this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all people, and you're turning it into a greedy opportunity to make more money for the people who already have most of it. And he goes in there and starts knocking stuff over. Beautiful! Apparently there's nothing wrong with that, right? Jesus did it. He's our example. Maybe throwing tables over is not off the table as a response to what we see going on in our lives or our world. But we also know, of course, that anger can be very destructive because we've probably seen that happen too. Anger can cause us to harm the people around us in ways that we deeply regret later. Anger as a chronic condition can be incredibly destructive to the person who's holding the anger. And ironically, trying to suppress emotions is a really bad strategy. just reading Love is Not Easily Irritated and then going out there and saying, I can't be irritated. I can't be irritated. Guess what you're going to be more of? Irritated. This is not a helpful way to deal with irritations, is to pretend like we're not irritated. That's not a, just like dealing with sadness and grief, it's not very helpful to just pretend we're fine. That's never going to help. Those emotions were given by God to direct our attention to something that matters, that we really ought to attend to. It's often a goal that we, this is the basic response of anger, right? Is there's a goal we have and something's interrupting that or thwarting that. When Gianna wakes up and throws her bottle on the floor and I don't pull her out of her crib like she wants, her goal is getting up. My goal is getting her back to sleep. When I interrupt her goal of getting up, she is going to get angry. When she interrupts my goal of getting her back to sleep, I might get angry. We are at loggerheads with one another. And of course, this is the human condition, right? When you are trying to get somewhere quickly in your car and somebody else pulls out in front of you going 5 miles under the speed limit, how do you feel? Come on! Get out of my way. I need to be somewhere. Anger, of course, sometimes we're right and that we get angry over things that really do matter. Sometimes we get angry over things that don't matter at all. If we have been living in a state of high irritation or carrying anger that we haven't processed, this is being easily irritated, right? The people who have, in fact, this is one of the best ways that we can stop and recognize that we need to do a little more interior work. If we find ourselves, I mean, there's an appropriate response to a situation, and sometimes anger is a very appropriate response to a specific set of circumstances. If somebody is causing harm to you or people you love, you should be angry. Anger helps us focus our attention on doing something different. On the other hand, if a child runs in and says, daddy, 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 and I respond with anger, that's probably not about this, is it? If we find ourselves responding with something much more than this situation warrants, it's probably a clue that we need to stop and take a look at where that is coming from and why. And if we, this is one of the classic things, if we don't process our hurt, we pass it on. If we hold on to these things and just keep trying to push them down and pretend like they're not there, they're going to come back up. They're going to come out. We're going to get a little bit touchy. Yeah. Love is learning to be able to experience our emotions so that we can respond in healthy and constructive ways, both to ourselves and to the people around us. We live in a very complicated and connected world. There are hundreds of human beings whose choices affect and influence how your day goes, right? Somebody at PG&E decided on or off today. That affects our day. It affects the pies we have in the freezer. Beyond our control. They could flip it off. I can get angry. Maybe I can very much be like, man, those pies meant a lot to me. But I can't change it. So what am I going to do with that? We have to be able to experience our feelings, make a space for them in our thoughts, in our being, and say that those feelings are things that we actually feel. This is the only way we're going to get to be able to process them and move on to saying, okay, I feel angry at this. What am I going to do about it? Maybe we need to get a generator for the freezer. Maybe I need to freeze less pies and just eat them all when I bake them. There's all sorts of solutions, and we can start saying, what is the best, most constructive way to deal with this situation? When we start feeling anger or irritation in our relationships with the people around us, anger is a great signpost to say, I need to stop and listen to what's going on, but I don't probably want my anger driving my decision on what action I take. Anger is a wonderful signpost. It is a horrible guide. A horrible master for determining how we respond to those situations that might make us angry or make us feel frustrated. Denying the emotion tends to amplify it. Imagine wanting a piece of chocolate cake in the freezer, in the fridge, but denying no, I don't want it. I want it. No. How much of your mental space starts to be occupied by that chocolate cake? Pretty soon, that's all you can think about, right? Those mosquitoes biting me or that blister, they can start taking up our entire mental real estate sooner or later. When we craft a healthy response to them, we are actually doing the precise thing that I believe God gave us the anger to do, which was to say there is a problem here that needs to be focused on, that needs to be brainstormed, that needs a change in what we are doing or where we are in order to move forward in a positive way. Emotions are data. We get this data about things that we care about, and that's really important for us to pay attention to if we want to live lives that matter. But some of this, and this is a huge part for me, is remembering what things matter most. I love the story of A.A. Well, I'll take my kids first. Maybe you're like this, but if you're at work, or if in some cases, when I'm at home, I have days when Heather's doing ballet and teaching and off doing other things and I'm with the kids. If I have one of those days where I'm also trying to, say, finish a sermon and mow the lawn and remodel the backyard or whatever it is, how do I experience the kids on that day versus the day where I say I'm home and my job is being a great parent to these kids and helping them have a wonderful, fun day? If I'm trying to get other things, and I've noticed this so much, if I'm trying to get other things done than anything my kids do, those interruptions are threatening my goals and making me pretty upset. Like, how dare you not go down for your nap? What do you mean you're hungry? I just fed you. Stop it. No, I don't know when. Yeah. This is something I've noticed so much when driving, right? Because there can be very few things as frustrating and irritating as driving. Driving can also be fun. What changes? What makes the difference between driving being great and driving being awful? Traffic, absolutely. You know what I've noticed matters more than even traffic? Well, here's why traffic gets so irritating, right? Because we had a plan in our heads that said it takes 15 minutes for me to get from here to there, and then there's traffic, and now I'm going to be late. If I'm going somewhere and I don't have a specific time I have to be there, there's traffic. Whatever. I'm going to listen to a song I like. Let's pop in a podcast. We'll be great. The amount of margin we have built into our lives, I've noticed, like being on my way to someplace late, the entire drive is full of irritating drivers. If I've got plenty of time and I'm not worried about it, I can just enjoy myself, and I really don't find other people's driving near as irritating or problematic. Some profound lessons for the rest of us in the rest of our lives, right? These models are specific examples of what irritates us and what doesn't, can point towards how we live lives of being a little bit less irritated. A little extra margin matters so much for us as humans. When we have enough space, when we have enough emotional energy in our lives, we are going to find ourselves being much less irritated than when we are completely strung out and maxed out on all levels. This matters financially. This matters time-wise. This matters almost more than anything else in the amount of rest you are allowing your body to have. You notice the direct correlation between being tired and being irritated? If I've had enough sleep, I have so much more patience and emotional reserves than if I haven't. If we have enough space to breathe, which this is just like the blisters on our body, maybe one of the keys to being less irritated is practicing better self-care. That if we want to love other people well, one of the best things we can do is making sure that we are taking care of ourselves too. If you don't have your oxygen mask put on, you're not going to be able to help other people put theirs on for very long before you're passed out. If we aren't making sure that we have the time to rest, to feed our souls, to feed our bodies, to care for ourselves, we're not going to do a very good job of caring for the other people around us. And of course, I know for me, there is nothing more important to me than being able to care well for these other human beings I'm sharing this planet with. And if that matters most, then this is the huge reframing that a lack of not being irritated easily with the people around me means I have to make sure I'm taking the time to take care of myself so that I can do that job well for them. A.A. Milne was an author and was working on a project, and like most authors working on projects, was doing so from home with children around. And his son walked in, his son's name was Christopher, and said, "Dad, are you working?" To which his father responded, "It would not appear that I am now, am I?" "Would you be willing to go for a walk with me, Dad?" "Fine." Back then, he was either on a paper or a typewriter. This was long before computers. Puts his writing away and goes for a walk with his son, Christopher Robin, in the 500-acre wood. And comes back and begins to write Winnie the Pooh. Based on the interruption. Henry Nouwen said, "My whole life I have been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that the interruptions were my work." These human beings around us are the thing that matters most to us. It is so foolish for me to respond in ways that are harsh and unkind to these people who I value far more than whatever goal they might be interrupting. When we start to see our lives as this wonderful and beautiful and complicated dance, the singing harmony with all these other humans around us, we start recognizing that the things that matter most to us aren't things, they're these people. That it is worth restructuring and changing how we have our days planned out in order to take into account these other humans. If I want to be less irritated, then maybe I need to try to do less in a day. That's my biggest problem. If I'm expecting to accomplish more than I can, I'm going to find every interruption as an incredible irritant. Maybe if I care most about being kind and good to these people around me, I need to just bite off less in a day, because I'm recognizing that people are what matter. Guy Winch, a psychologist, wrote a book called Emotional First Aid, and he has 7 steps that might be helpful for you in figuring out how to handle and reduce irritability. Number one, he says, figure out the source. And this is, of course, back to what I was talking about anger being a sign. What is it that is actually causing me to be irritable and angry in this case? It really shouldn't be my children, because they're just children and they're wonderful. So what is it that I'm really bugged about? 2, reduce stimulant and depressant usage. Turns out caffeine might not be great for interpersonal relationships, even if it helps us stay awake. 3, he says it's often the little things. Be honest about them. Mosquitoes can be incredibly irritating. Traffic can be incredibly irritating. Maybe we need to see if we can structure our lives in ways that remove it. The good news is, if it's a little thing that's irritating us, hopefully we can make a change to take care of that. Put screens on the windows, right? Be fantastic idea. Get up, yeah, exactly. Get up a few minutes earlier. Have a little bit of space. 4, get in touch with your compassion, both for yourself and for the people around you. When we actually start looking at things from a bigger, more compassionate perspective, we see that, you know, we and most other people are doing the best they can. They're trying. And we have to give ourselves and the people around us some grace. 5, gain perspective and reframe it. Figure out what's actually going on and what does matter most to us, and put that in first place. 6, rid yourself of nervous energy. This can often best be done by some physical activity. Get some exercise, go for a walk, ride a bike, do something outside and where you're breathing and using your body. And 7, get quiet and alone time. This matters so much. Being able to try spending 10 minutes a day in meditation and prayer before you run out the door, and see how that changes how everything else comes at you. Imagine a church where people are not easily irritated with each other. It's a pretty nice place to be, right? Imagine a family where dad and mom aren't easily irritated. That's pretty awesome. I want to give that to my kids more than I want to get whatever I want to get done. This could be a revolutionary concept. This reframing. Imagine that walking out of here today, the wind just blew right into your face a lottery ticket. And you pull it down and scratch it off, or whatever. Maybe it's a Powerball ticket for the purposes of my illustration. It's a Powerball ticket, and you check, and it's a winner, $30 million. This might change your life, just a little bit. How does the rest of your day after this point go? Imagine you get pulled over by the police officer on your way home with your winning lottery ticket. How irritated are you? Can I write a check right now? No big deal. Imagine that after getting home, you get an extra bill in the mail for more than you expected from PG&E. It'll be fine. No big deal. Imagine you get a call from one of your kids' teachers saying they did poorly on a test today at school. No worries, we'll hire a tutor. It's going to be all right. 30 million reasons why. That totally changed. There's traffic. You get stuck in traffic. Do you care? No, I got $30 million. I'm going to be fine. our perspective changes so much of how we experience this. Which one of us hasn't done better than winning $30 million? We have a God who loves us beyond anything we could imagine, who has given God's self for us that we might be one with God forever, who has poured out eternal life for us, in us, through us. This is better than $30 million. This is every day. This is the reality we are invited to step into. When I am living with the awareness and conscious presence of God and His love in my life, I have so much more space for the people around me, for the irritants, maybe even the mosquitoes. That one's on the fence. We have been given so much that when we remember how much we are loved, we too can be not easily irritated. Join me in singing our hymn of response, "When Peace Like a River."
Hasten the day when my faith.